Morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Lamed Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechon Ishmasli, Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today in the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin and Mid Beis. Take a little bit of a detour away from the topic of Gittin. The truth of the matter is we're already in the detour. The Gemara talked about Takanas and things that are done as a result of various institutions. So we just got off the topic of Prutzvul. Yesterday's daf, the day before, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, are the two chief dafim that discuss the topic of Prutzvul through the Gemara. We finished it. We finished the Gemara. And now we turn to the new topic of today. We're on the Mishnah, Lamed Zayin, Amud Beis, Evich and Ishba. So your Evich Kanani was taken into captivity. Just a brief word of introduction in terms of an Evich Kanani. Things we've discussed time and again, but just bear repeating because just to understand the context in which we're talking about. So an Evich Kanani is an Evich that you own. You buy the Evich and you own the Evich. And ownership of the Evich Kanani allows you to not only forces him to work for you indefinitely. It's more than just indentured servitude. But on top of that, you actually have a bialus on him. You have an ownership on his guf, on his body. In the event of death, you pass him along as part of your estate. So I think the English term that's used to describe that is called chattel. But basically, he's property. He's property of yours. Just like when you buy and sell property, karka, so it can be done through one of the gimel kinyanim of shtar chazaka and kesef shtar chazaka. So it can be done through money, it can be done through contract, it can be done also through a proprietary act. So the same thing is true regarding an Evich Kanani. Evich Kanani can also be bought and sold using this basic methodology and many other areas in halacha in which an Evich Kanani and a karka are synonymous or similar in terms of halachic principles. So our mission over here is now going to be discussing the scenario in which your Evich Kanani was taken captive. Okay, now, there's, as an Evich Kanani, just a couple more words of introduction, as an Evich Kanani, so you are a Jew and you're not a Jew. You're somewhere in between Jew and non-Jew. So to be an Evich Kanani, so that means now that when you buy an Evich Kanani off the market, so you're going to tovel him in the mikvah, or her, him or her, you'll tovel him in the mikvah, and if it's a man, you'll do milah. And now he's going to, or in the case he or she, is going to subscribe to most of the mitzvahs of the Torah. The chiyuv mitzvahs on an Evich Kanani is going to be similar to that of a woman, which is basically nearly all the mitzvahs in the Torah. There'll be potter from mitzvahs esei shazman grama, time-bound mitzvahs will be exempt from, but outside of that, they're going to be chayv on all the mitzvahs. So you're looking at a person who is chayv, let's talk about a male Evich Kanani. You're talking about a person who has a bris milah, who is chayv in mitzvah Shabbos. In other words, for all intents and purposes, he looks like a Jew. Looks like a Jew, behaves like a Jew. The one outstanding difference between an Evich Kanani and a full-fledged Jew is who they're allowed to marry. The Jew is allowed to marry another Jew, but an Evich Kanani cannot marry another Jew. Who's the Evich Kanani going to marry? Shifcha Kananis. In other words, there'll be marriage within intra the Kananim. The Avadim. So intra Avadim marriage. Okay, I made up that word.
Well, for it's called Evich Kanani only when he gets milah and.
Right. In other words, right. Well, I mean, that's part of the process of him becoming
Evich Kanani is when.
Okay. Right. Okay. So that's the basic definition of a Evich Kanani. Now, a lot of our Masechta is going to deal a lot of this. Next stop, I should say, are going to deal with emancipation. Now, there's a general tension that exists regarding freeing your Evich Kanani. First of all, the Torah says don't do it. So that already starts the tension. The tension begins with don't do it. In other words, the Torah says, lo'olam hem tavodu. They should be in indefinite servitude towards you. So you have to be the owner of the Evich Kanani, and that should exist indefinitely. But on the other hand, as we'll see over the course of today's daf, I'm sure some of the stories you already know, or you know, if you've been around long enough. But there are times where emancipation is given. Now, if an Evich Kanani is going to go lecheros, there's only one direction for him to go. Meaning he's basically, I'm not saying this mathematically, but he's halfway to being Jewish. It's probably, if you want to speak mathematically, it's probably more than halfway of being Jewish. But in other words, there's only one direction for him to go. So once he goes cheres, so then he goes up. Meaning then at that point in time, he then becomes a full-fledged Jew who now is able to marry another Jew. So that's the only direction he goes. It doesn't go down. Okay, look, he may not be interested in it, and yes, it's the philosophical issue, which I'm not qualified to discuss. Is, you know, basically you're talking about conversion by force, meaning here's a person who you purchase as an Eved Kenani. Okay, fine, I'm an Eved Kenani, and now he's going to keep Shabbos and he's going to do the mitzvahs because that's part of the gig of being an Eved Kenani. And then once he goes free, so now. You know, he didn't ask him, do you want to be Jewish? In other words, it's the kind of thing where it happens. It happens mimela. So, yes, so it is a little bit strange. Through this process, you're essentially going to have a convert who converted to Yiddishkeit, who basically wasn't, he didn't say, hey, I love the idea. Okay. All that stated, that's just all by way of words of introduction, just so that we are, you know, we have a better understanding of the Mishnah, the Gemara. So the Mishnah discussed the following scenario. So let's say you have an Eved Kenani, and he was taken captive. Okay, back then, I mean today as well, but back then, a common occurrence where somebody was taken captive and taken into captivity was really a financial arrangement. In other words, the primary purpose was ransom. In other words, the captives wanted money. Okay, they couldn't make it in the business world, so they took on this kind of profession, which wasn't a great profession, but still it allowed them to have money. Now, so here essentially what's going to be happening now is that we're going to be ransoming the Eved Kenani. There is a fundamental question which the Mishnah really doesn't even address openly. You'll see in the Gemara that the Gemara is going to touch on this fundamental issue, and that is the following: if a Jew is taken captive, there is a mitzvah to ransom a Jew. Okay, it's Pidgin Shvuyim. In fact, Pidgin Shvuyim, the Gemara speaks a number of occasions how important the mitzvah it is. It is a mitzvah rabba. It is a tremendous mitzvah to take a Jew who was taken into captivity and to ransom him. And that's a mitzvah. And then the issue, which again the Mishnah doesn't even address, but it really is the issue, is such a mitzvah exists regarding an Eved Kenani. Okay. I'll leave that question open-ended. That doesn't really have a definitive answer, but you'll see that really is one of the underpinnings of our entire Mishnah. If there's a mitzvah to ransom a Eved Kenani as much as there is a Jew, so then you have something compelling you to go ahead and to ransom him. It's a mitzvah. If, however, there is no mitzvah, then there's no compulsion. There's no incentivization in terms of a mitzvah, and then you have to figure out what exactly the issue may be in terms of ransoming him. Okay, so that is the basic issue regarding the Mishnah. So let's start the Mishnah once again. Eved Shenishba. So you have the Eved Kenani who was taken to captivity, upaduhu, and then he was ransomed. So now the Mishnah says, Im l'shem Eved yishtabin. Now if you ransomed him with the intent of continuing his servitude, so good, so he'll still be a slave. And Im l'shem ben charen, but if you ransomed him with the intent of freeing him, lo yishtabin, so he no longer behaves as an Eved Kenani, he no longer is an Eved Kenani. So the Tanakhama's position is, it depends for what purpose you ransom him. Did you ransom him for Avdus, or did you ransom for a Ben Chorin? And based on that, that will determine what he will become after Pidgeon. Will he become, and will it continue to be an Evan, or will he go free? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar Ben Kach, Ben Kach, Yishtabed. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that in any scenario, Yishtabed. In other words, he's going to go back to servitude, and it does not matter what the intent of the ransomer was. Now, there's a lot missing in the Mishnah in terms of information. But my asking, and we go right to the Gemara. The Gemara asks the question. So the Gemara says, let's think about this. We're talking about an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani is property of the Jew. He's owned by somebody. I know. In our modern thinking, it's difficult to think this way. But understand the Mishnah, understand the Gemara. This is how you think. So he's owned by somebody. He's property of somebody. So now, I don't understand. If he's property of somebody, so how does that go away? That just simply doesn't disappear. You own something, so it's yours, and it remains yours. So what's going on in the Mishnah? So, Elam lifnei Yeush l'shem ben chorin mamai lo yishtabed. Now, if this was before Yeush, meaning the owner of the Eved Kenani never lost hope that he was going to get him back. He understands right now that his slave was taken into captivity. He understands that it's going to cost him to get it back, but there was no Yeush. In other words, he didn't despair. Well, if there's no Yeush, so then whoever ransoms him, and for whatever reason they ransom him, he should go right back to his original owner. Elach Yeush. So the Gemara says it must be that the owner had Yeush. And Yeush means that he no longer is the owner of the Eved Kanani. Well, if he's no longer the owner of the Eved Kanani, so why is he going back to Shibud? That doesn't make sense. So Lashem Eved Amai Yishtabed. So Amar Abaye, so we're going to have two basic approaches to our Mishnah. So Amar Abaye Lalam Lefnei Yeush. Abaye says the way to understand the Mishnah is that it was before Yeush. Now, in terms of Lifnei Yeush, so that means that the original owner never lost hope that he was going to get him back. So, when he was ransomed, and he was ransomed L'shem Avdus, then we understand. It makes perfect sense. Meaning that what's going to happen is that he's going to go back to his original owner. That's simple. L'shem ben charin lo yishtabed l'rabba rishon v'l'rabba sheni. Now, here's where it gets tricky. But Abaye explains. Now, let's say that the ransomer ransoms him with the intent that he goes free. So, L'shem ben charin lo yishtabed lo, I'm sorry. L'shem ben charin lo yishtabed l'rabba rishon v'l'rabba sheni. So, at that point in time, he's not going to be in servitude to neither his original owner nor to the one who actually ransomed him. L'rabba sheni lo. So in terms of the person who ransomed him, so he doesn't get him because he ransomed him with the express intent of freeing him. So clearly he can't claim ownership over the Eved Kanani. Now the Rabbi Risha Namilo. Now, but why not go back to the original owner? Because the original owner, the original owner still owns him. So the Gemara says, Dilma Mimne Velo Parke. So over here, Abaye explains that there's an underlying issue, and that is the following. Because, imagine. In other words, the original owner, obviously, he should be the one ransoming him, meaning it's his Eved Kanani. But let's imagine now that somebody else were to volunteer and ransom this Eved Kanani who is right now being held in captivity. Okay. Now, What would be my motivation to do so? So like I said back in the Mishnah, if there's a mitzvah to ransom him, so the motivation is that a Jew wants to do mitzvahs. Okay. But clearly the Tanakhama is operating with the thought process that it's not a mitzvah per se. So now let's ask the question once again. What's the motivation? Why would someone want to do that? Now, if all I'm going to get out of it is that I'm going to ransom him just so that he can go back to his original owner, that's not so inspiring. That's not so motivational. So therefore, if a person comes forward and says, I want to ransom him, but I want him to go to become a Ben Chorin, I want him to become a free man, a Jew, right, an independent, not owned by anybody. Okay, so now there's at least now a little motivation involved. Because I'm going to ransom him, and look, there's going to be a yield. The yield is going to be, the man's going to be a free man. Then and only then am I going to really be motivated to ransom him. So Abaye says that's what's going on in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, when a second person sponsors his ransom and pays him to go out, really the only thing that's going to incentivize him is if something good comes out of it. What good would come out of it? If he becomes a free man. That explains Abaye is the difference between what the intent was. If the intent was just to keep him in servitude, fine, he has an owner. If the intent is to free him, so the truth of the matter is that he still has an owner, but if we don't allow him to go free, there won't be any incentive to allow him for anyone else to sponsor his ransom.
Does this fellow, is he armed to that mentor of keeping slaves?
Is it what I mean? Again, that's the underlying assumption within the Tanakhama that he's not doing a mitzvah. So he's not doing a mitzvah. So there's got to be something incentivizing him to do that. Otherwise, why would anyone step forward?
No, but I mean, he'd be arguably a mitzvah for keeping him as a slave.
The Chachamim, yeah. In other words, there's a law of lo'olam, and asay and iser asay of lo'olam ben tavodu. So what happened to that? I guess the Chachamim waved in the circumstance. Okay, so the Dilma Mimne Velo Parke. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Ben Kach Ben Kach Yishtabed. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah said, I don't care what the intent was, he's going to go back to the original owner. So Abaye says, I'll explain Rav Shimon Gamliel. Kesavik Shem Shemitzvah Lefdosis B'nei Charen Kach Mitzvah Lefdosis Avadim. He says it's really simple. In other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel fundamentally holds it's a mitzvah. Just like if a Jew were to be taken into captivity, there's a mitzvah to ransom the Jew. Same thing is true regarding an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani has Jew status, and And again, like I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, this is really the issue, meaning the fundamental issue, which here you see used to explain Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, why does the Tanna Kamma disagree on this very fundamental point? I can only guess. I don't know. But still, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there is a mitzvah to ransom an Eved Kanani as much as there is a Jew. Therefore, we don't have to incentivize anybody. In other words, what's the incentive? The incentive is Jews like doing mitzvos. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to ransom a Jew. It's a mitzvah to ransom an Eved Kanani. What's going to happen when you ransom him? He'll go back to becoming an Eved. So what? Meaning it's a mitzvah to ransom him as much as there is a mitzvah to ransom a Jew. That's the opinion behind Rav Shimon Gamliel. So that is approach number one in our Mishnah. That's Abaye. So Abaye says that our entire Mishnah is talking about Lifnei Yish. And in terms of what is the machlokus between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon Gamliel, so really at the root of the machlokus is there a mitzvah to ransom a Eved Kanani as much as there is a Jew? The Tanna Kamma says no. So because there's no mitzvah, so therefore the Chachamim have to offer some sort of incentive for someone other than the owner to ransom him. What's the incentive? He'll go free. And according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, he disagrees fundamentally. He holds it's a mitzvah. And because it's a mitzvah, so therefore there is nobody needs to incentivize anyone else to ransom him. I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. When I give money to ransom him, I've done the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. It's a mitzvah of tzedakah. It's a mitzvah rabba. So now good. So that'll be enough incentive. And then what's going to happen? What's going to happen is he'll still be an Eved Kanani, because our entire Mishnah is talking about before Yesh. He works for the original owner. It was Lifnei Yish. He never moved ownership. Maybe I don't know. It wouldn't seem that way because it's a tzedakah. It's a mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, Rava Amar LaOlam LaAcher Yesh. Rava says that really we're talking about after Yesh. And so, in other words, approach number two, Rava. Rava says that the entire Mishnah is talking about where the owner of this Eved Kanani experienced Yeush. He said, I'm never getting him back. I lose hope in getting him back. So we know, in general, what Yeush does is Yeush separates ownership, meaning I no longer become the owner of that item. We'll see him above Metzia time and again. La'acher Yeush, after Yeush, you find something, it belongs to you. So over here, so that he had Yeush on his Eved Kanani. Now, if it's La'acher Yeush, let's understand the Mishnah. Ulishum Eved Now, if it's Acher Yeush, I now understand. Somebody else ransoms him, good. He becomes the owner because the Eved Kanani now is available. Now, let's understand. If he tried to free him he tried to ransom him for Cheres so that he would become a free man, so then he does not serve neither the first nor the second. Now, in terms of the second one, free ransom him with the intent of freeing him. Now, and for in terms of not being owned by the first, it's not owned by the first because it's Acher Yeush. Good. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Ben Kach Uven Kach, Yishtabed. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he's going to go back to Shibud. He's going to go back to Shibud. Why? According to Rav Arm, it's just talking about L'Acher Yeush. If it's L'Acher Yeush, doesn't seem like under every circumstance he should go back to servitude. Kidechizkia. So the Gemara says, and Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel takes another thing into consideration, and that is Amr Chizkia Mimnei Ma Amru Ben Kach Uven Kach Yishtabed. What's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Shalei Kol Echad Echad Hole Chama Pelatzma Lagayasos Umafkiatzma Miad Rabo. Because let's think about this. If the halacha were that all you need to do in order to get your ticket to slavery is be captured, so then every Eved Kanani, once there's a army coming through town, the Eved Kanani will run over to the army and say, please. Please capture me. I'd love it. Why? Because once I'm captured, so then the owner will experience Yeush, then he'll be able to go free. In other words, this will basically incentivize the Eved Kanani to allow himself to be captured. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says we don't want that. We don't want to give the Eved Kanani such ideas, such incentives. So therefore Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that it doesn't matter why the person who sponsored his release is going to release him. Bottom line is, he's going to go back to servitude. Why? So not to incentivize him to be captured. Okay, mitzvah. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Amar lan Roshim and Gimel Kim Shim Shim Mitzvah Livdosos Bnei Charm Kach Mitzvah Livdos Esavadim. So here in the Braisa, we actually have a dialogue. It's not much of a dialogue, but we actually have a dialogue between Roshim and Gamliel and the Chachamim and the Tanakama. And Roshim and Gamliel says, "Hey, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to ransom a Nevekanani as much as it is to mitzvah to ransom a Jew." Now, Bishlam Alabai Dam Lefnei Yerushayna Dekam Kashem. Now, according to Abaye, you understand the dialogue, but because according to Abaye, our entire Mishnah is talking about Lifnei Yeish. And Lifnei Yeish, what is Rav Shimon Gamliel's counterpoint to the Tanakama? Of course people are going to want to ransom him. Meaning, I know he's going to go back to servitude, but it's a mitzvah. Just like it was a mitzvah to ransom a Jew, it's a mitzvah to ransom a Nevekanani. According to Abaye, you understand the back and forth between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Again, it's not really a back and forth, but you understand what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. Ela la Rava da amar l'acha yesh, but according to Rava, that the entire Mishnah is l'acha yesh, ha'kishay mitzvah, d'chizkiyahu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the dialogue. We're talking now l'acha yesh. L'acha yesh, the original owner is no longer going to own him. So, and now Rav Shimon Gamliel says it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether your intent was for him to go free, whether your intent was for him to remain a slave, he's going to go back to slavery. Why? So the reason is because of Chizkiyah's concern, because otherwise we're going to incentivize the slaves to allow themselves to be captured. Really, that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel should be saying to the Tanakama. Not the Kishem Shem Mitzvah Liftos Esisra Kach Mitzvah. In other words, that really isn't the argument. So Amalecha Rav, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lo Havayada Maika Amar Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Rav in his defense will say the following. Look, what Rav Shimon Gamliel was doing is covering his basis. Because truth of the matter is that he himself was unclear whether the Tanakama was talking about Lifnei Yesh or La'achar Yesh. And so basically, what Rav Shimon Gamliel was doing was addressing both points. This is what Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying to the Chachamim. If the issue is it's before Yesh, Hainu Kishem, then you understand the words of Kishem. Meaning, the argument is, it's a mitzvah. And Ilacha Yesh Kam Risu Kedechizkiah. And if the issue is in the Mishnah, La'acha Yesh, so then I will simply say to you, he's going to go back to becoming an Eved, and the reason why is because otherwise you'll incentivize the slave to be to allow themselves to be captured. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so we have now in our Mishnah two basic approaches. We have our Mishnah, a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah as to what happens to the Eved Kanani once you ransom him. The Tanakam says it depends on what your intent is. Rav Shimon Gamliel says he's always going to go back to becoming an Eved Kanani. And then within the Mishnah, you have two approaches within the Mishnah, Abai and Rava, as to whether the Mishnah is talking about Lifnei Yish or La'achar Yesh. And as the Gemara just articulated, based on how you understand the Mishnah, so that's how you're going to result in a different explanation from Shimon Gamliel. If the issue in the Mishnah is Lifnei Yesh, so then the issue is whether or not it's a mitzvah. Tanakama says it's not a mitzvah to ransom an Eved Kanani, and Shimon Gamliel says it is. If the issue in the Mishnah is La'achar Yesh, so then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, saying that he goes back to becoming an Eved Kanani, that's a different issue. The issue there is we don't want to incentivize the Eved Kanani to allow himself to be captured because that's basically going to be his ticket to freedom. Adkan. That takes us to the end of the Mishnah and the two presentations of the Mishnah. Okay, four lines from the bottom on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara continues. Rabba Damalacha Yesh Rabbo Sheni Rabbo Sheni Mi Man Kanila. So the Gemara says, now let's understand according to Rava. Rava says that a second person ransoms him, and what happens? And according to Rava, the entire Mishnah is L'Acha Yesh. So now what? Okay. So now the second one who ransoms him gets now to own the Eved Kanani. Okay, how did he acquire him? So now we get into a very technical discussion, but it's an important discussion, about means of acquisition. How did he acquire him? So the Gemara says, Mishavai. What do you mean he acquired him? From the captor. Now, Shavai, Gufe, Mikanile. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So how did the captor acquire him? Meaning that there, in order for the ransomer, right, the sponsor of that ransom, someone other than the owner, obviously. So the only way that he can acquire the Eved Kanani is if he acquired it from somebody who owned him. So the Gemara says, so how do we have a transfer of ownership from the original owner to the captor, from the captor now to our new owner? How did all these kinyanim work? So the Gemara says in Kana Lamasa Yadav. So the Gemara says what the captor did is the captor did acquire ownership of the Eved Kanani, not his goof, but his Masa Yadayim, his productivity. Now, when a Jew purchases an Eved Kanani, so he owns not only the Masa Yadayim, he owns the goof. When a non-Jew purchases another non-Jew, meaning there's avdus everywhere, but when a non-Jew owns another non-Jew, it is only lemaisa yadav, it's only for productivity, it is not leguf. That means then that when a non-Jew owns another non-Jew, so if the owner dies, he goes free. In other words, it wasn't a kinyan aguf, it was only a kinyan on the yadayim. So the Gemara says, and how do I know all this? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Bechukosai, and I think Parshas Bahar. I think one parsha earlier. So as Rashi points out, the last words mehem tiknu are redundant. Atem konim mehem, velohem konim michem, mikem, velohem konim zemizem. In terms of creating an actual kinyan haguf, there's only one way that happens, and that is when a Yisroel buys an ovi kochavim, meaning what we call Eved Kanani. That's the only time that there's going to be a kinyan haguf. However, if a non-Jew were to buy another non-Jew, or if a non-Jew were to buy Yisroel as an Eved, there it's only Peros, it's only Yadayim, it's not a kinyan haguf. You don't own the principal, you only own the productivity. So then the Brisa says something which is a little bit confounding. Then the Brisa says, I might have thought they can't acquire one another. What just happened? You just said that they can buy one another. So they're not acquiring one another in terms of principle, in terms of the goof. However, Yachlo Yiknu Zezel Lamasi Adav, Amar Kavachomer, the Gemara says, no, we're going to use a Kavachomer to show that when they buy one another, so they're buying the Avdus as far as productivity. And the Gemara says, we'll derive it through Kavachomer. Amar Kavachomer, Ove Kochavim Yisrael, Konem, Ove Kochavim. Ove kochavim yisrael kona. As far as an ove kochavim is concerned, a yisrael can acquire ove kochavim lo kol shekein. So if a guy can buy a yisrael regarding productivity, wouldn't it stand to reason that a guy could buy another guy in terms of productivity as well? The Gemara says, okay. So now, where are we at right now at this point in time? We've now established that in terms of the acquisition of another person. So, when a Jew buys an Eved Kochavim, that's what we classically refer to as an Eved Kanani. There's a Kinyan Yadayim, and there's a Kinyan Aguf as well. Okay, all forms of Kinyanim. When a non-Jew buys another non-Jew, or when a non-Jew buys a Jew, so there's Kinyanim, but only Liyadayim, not Leguf. So the Gemara says, now we have the different levels of Kinyanim acquired. But yet we have yet to establish method of kinyan. How does one acquire? Now, when it comes to a Jew buying property, so how does a Jew buy property? Kesef, shtar, chazaka. And as we said in the beginning of Shir today, an Eved Kanani, in terms of the halachas of acquisition, share the properties of property. Okay. So that means that when you're buying an Eved Kanani, so you're buying him the same method in which you're buying a property. Kesef, shtar, chazaka. Now, kesef, money, shtar, contract, chazaka, a proprietary act. Rashi over here points out, proprietary act means that he'll serve you as an Eved Kanani. He'll feed you, he'll clothe you. In other words, he'll do the things that an Eved Kanani does for its owner. So that's the means of acquisition.
Isn't captivity an act of...
Wait. That's where we're going. So the Gemara, perfect. So the Gemara says, so that I understand when a Jew buys an Eved Kanani. But let's consider, if a guy is buying an Eved Kanani, or if a guy is buying a Jew, and as we already pointed out, that only creates, that's only a kinyan legabe maisi adayim, it's not a kinyan legabe aguf, but okay, good. That we've already established. What about method of kinyan? How do you acquire? Because when it comes to a guy really only has one method of acquisition, kesef, generally. So if that's true, so then now, how does our captor acquire the Eved Kenani? That's the question. Meaning we know that there's at least a possibility for a captor to acquire a Jew and a guy, and or a guy, but we generally, are we going to also assume that the method of Kenyan is going to work through Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka, much like when we acquire an Eved Kenani, the method can be Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka. So that's the Gemara's next question. The Emahani Mila Bekaspa, I might have thought that the only way the non-Jew can acquire the Eved Kenani is through Kesef. Ava Bechazak alone. Amar Rav Papa, so Rav Papa says no. Amon Umo'ov Tiara Besichon, no. Even when it comes to non-Jews and property, non-Jews and property can be acquired through the regular method of Kesef Shtar Chazaka. How do I know that? The Gemara says because of historical account. We know the following. We know that the Torah warns us that we're not allowed to attack Ammon and Moab. And yet, before we came into Eretz Yisrael, what do? We took the lands of Ammon and Moab by force. How can we do that? The Torah says that we're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, what do we have to thank? We have Sichon to thank for that. Because what Sichon did is that Sichon conquered Ammon and Moab. Sichon conquered Ammon and Moab, removed the prohibition of us conquering the nations of Ammon and Moab. Thank you, Sichon. Well, then we took the lands from Sichon, but that was perfectly legitimate. What did you see from that entire account? That how did Sichon take the lands away from Ammon and Moab? By force. In other words, they didn't buy the land. It wasn't Kesef. It was Chazaka. They forced them out, and they did a proprietary act in order to acquire the land. So you see that when it comes to properties and non-Jews, it can be done through Chazaka. So now, when you go back to our captive, our Eved Kenani was taken to captivity, how did the captor acquire the Eved Kenani? The answer is Chazaka. Because the Gemara is assuming, once we know that by property Chazaka works, so we're going to assume the same thing is true by an Eved Kenani, and again, because Eved Kenani and property share the same halachas. Okay, I'm sorry. Mamon Amov Tiara B'Sichon Ashkechan Ove Kochavim Yisrael Minalan. So the Gemara says, okay, but that story with Sichon and Ammon and Moab, that was goy to goy. What about goy Jew? Meaning an Ove Kochavim buying a Jew, which is effectively what we're talking about over here. So Minalan Dichsei Vayish B'Meneshevi. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Chukas, right, when we went to battle. So the first thing they did is they took a captive. If you take a look at Rashi over there, Rashi on Chumash says that it wasn't a Jew, it was a Shivcha Kananis, but still. In other words, they effectively took her. So, and the Gemara's assuming is took her and acquired her, and we fought to get her back. So that is a source that teaches us that when a non-Jew takes a Eved Kenani, he can do so. The method of Kenyan can be also Chazaka, meaning it's not just Kesef, but it could also be done through Chazaka. Okay, so now we've answered the question. It took a little bit, but now we've answered the question. The original question, it was, according to Rava, when the second one sponsors the ransom, and takes them out of captivity, he acquires them. How did he acquire him? So the answer is, the captor acquired the Eved Kenani. The way the captor acquired the Eved Kenani is through a Kenyan Chazaka, right, in other words, captured him, and as Rashi over here points out, and forced the Eved Kenani to do something for him, right, dress him, feed him, okay, whatever. In other words, basically did a chazaka on the Eved Kenani. Then, now that he owns the Eved Kenani, now someone comes along and ransoms him by paying money. Money is another means of acquisition. And so the second one who ransoms him now is going to be the owner of that Eved Kenani. That is how it's all going to work according to Rava. I'm Rav Shem Bar Abba, I'm Rav Yochanan Nevesh Baruch Mi Beis HaSorim Yotzal Cheiros. Rav Yochanan quotes a halacha, which is that if you have an Eved that was taken into captivity, and then the great escape, right? He's in a moment of drama, of high drama, he escapes from prison. So Nevesh Baruch Mi Beis HaSorim Yotzal Cheiros. So he goes free. That's it, he's a free man. We'll go even one step further. We go over to the owner, and we say to the owner, look, I got I got great news, and I got even greater news. Right? The great news is that your slave is no longer in captivity. I got even greater news. He's a free. Okay, I'm being somewhat facetious over here, but I got even greater news, and that is he gets to go free now. And you're going to write him a document of emancipation to provide him his full freedom, so that now he can marry a Bas Yisrael.
The Yehosh doesn't come into play.
Very good. Wait 1 second. So Tanan. So we learned in our Mishnah, Rishon Gamalom Ben Kach Ben Kach Yishtabet. So the Gemara says, look at our Mishnah. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rishon Gamaliel. Rishon Gamaliel says is that whenever an Eved Kanani who was captured is ransomed, he goes right back to servitude. Now, that's step one. The Amar Rav Abba Baruch Hanan Rav Yochan Komak Vesheshan Roshim and Gamaliel B'Mishnah Sein Olach Kamoso Chutz Mei Arev Vitzino V'Rai Achrona. Rav Yochanan has a principle that whenever you see Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel in a Mishnah, he follows that as a halacha. There are three exceptions to this rule, and this is not one of the three. And we're not going to go through the three right now, but there are three exceptions to that rule. But this isn't it. So that means then that Rav Yochanan is going to adopt the position in our Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamaliel, which means that according to Rav Yochanan, the halacha is that when an Eved is taken into captivity and he's freed, he's ransomed, he does not go to freedom, but rather he stays in servitude. So, Rav Yochanan, I don't understand. In the case of the great jailbreak, you said that the Eved Kanani goes free. How can you say that? You subscribe like Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel of our Mishnah, which is that he goes right back to captivity. Rav Yochanan, explain yourself. So, Bishlam Abaye Mukila Lahay Lefnei Yeish V'Hay Lalacher Yeish. So, according to Abaye, actually, it does work. Because remember, when Abaye learned our Mishnah, how did Abaye learn our Mishnah? Our entire Mishnah is talking about Lefnei Yeish, and Abaye will tell you, I don't find a steer between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan, because the Rav Yochanan of our Mishnah is talking about Lefnei Yeish. The Rav Yochanan of the great jail escape, that's talking about Lacher Yeish. Good. So according to Abaye, works out well, and that's why Phil, I knew this was coming. El Rav Adam Lacha Yesh Kashid Rav Yochanan Ad Rav Yochanan. But according to Rava, our Mishnah is talking about Lacha Yesh, and still the Rashbag Rav Shimon Gamaliel says he goes back to servitude. So now, according to Rava, we have a stira. How can Rav Yochanan learn our Mishnah and paskin like Rav Shimon Gamaliel of our Mishnah? And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan also says that in the case of the Great Escape, he goes free. Why should that be? So Rava will give an interesting answer. He says, look, why is it in our Mishnah is La'achar Yesh, why is it that he goes back to servitude? So we already explained this morning, because we don't want to incentivize slaves from going from allowing themselves to be captured. We don't. So what's going to happen? A slave is not going to allow himself to be captured, and that basically will serve as his ticket to freedom. So that's why whoever ransoms him, he goes right back to servitude. Even if the one who ransomed him said, "I want him to go free," the Chachamim said, I mean, Chachmei Yisrael said, "No, because if you allow this one to go free, they're all going to do it." So no, okay. But now we're talking about somebody who's risking his life. Meaning, he allows himself to be captured, but more than that, he also tries a jailbreak. Now, in doing so, he basically now he's either free or a dead man. It's one of those two. If they catch him, they're going to kill him. So the Gemara says, you don't have to worry about incentivizing anybody else. In other words, if somebody who's going to be captured and ransomed, okay, it'll be a little bit uncomfortable, but that's fine. Someone who's going to be captured and risk his life by escaping, and either he's going to be free or he's going to be killed, don't worry. There are not going to be that many copycats. The Gemara says, Hashta l'katala masa nafshe, apuli apol nafshe l'gayasos. So nobody's going to give themselves over in order to endure that kind of life-threatening activity just so that they can become free. Amte Damar Shmuel Ishtabai. Gemara tells a couple stories. The maidservant of Shmuel was taken into captivity. Parku l'shem Amasa. So she was ransomed, but she was ransomed with the intent of still maintaining her servitude. And v'shajur alei, and the sponsor of her ransom sent her back to Shmuel. Shalchu le'an Karav Shimon Gamaliel Sviralan. So first of all, the sponsor, he knew halacha, he knew the Mishnah. So he said, so I hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So as from my perspective, she's going to go back to servitude under any circumstance. At Inamika Rabbanan Sfir Lach, this sponsor says to Shmuel, look, even if you don't hold like Rashbag, even if you hold like the Tanakama, you should know my intention when ransoming her is that she remain in servitude, which effectively means she's going to go back to you. So, Anan Lushum Amata Parkelan Niala, V'inu, I'm sorry, Niala. Okay, so that was the sponsor. Okay, so really a wonderful person from Shmuel's perspective. Meaning, he basically said to Shmuel, I ransomed her for you. Now, I took the halach into consideration. I hold like the Rashbag, so for me it doesn't make a difference. You may even hold like the Tanakama, but I ransom her so that she remain a Shifra Kananis. Okay. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, when Shmuel learned our Mishnah, he understood that our Mishnah was only talking about Lifnei Yerush. Volohi. La'acha Yerushava. So, and meanwhile, he already gave up hope. Ushmuel lo mi baide the eshes avude lo mishtabed. Now, from Shmuel's perspective, it goes two steps. Step number one, she's a free woman. It was la'achra yeish. Step number two, elagita de cherusa nami lo tzricha. She doesn't even need a shtar shechur. She does not need a document of emancipation. Shmuel atam adam shmuel hamafkir abdu yatzal cheres. But it's our get shechur. Once you're mafkir your evi kanani, they go free and they don't even need a shtar shechur. Shenemer v'chol evid ish miknas kesef. Evid ish v'lo evid isha. The Gemara says, I don't even understand the pasuk. Right? We just read it last week. Parshas Bo. The Torah says, chol evid ish, the slave of man, miknas kesef. What does that mean? Men are the only one who can own slaves? That's not true. A woman can own a slave. Again, it's property. So so chol eved ish mekanas kesef eved ish v'lo eved isha eled eved sheyesh lo reshus l'rabo alav kari eved shein lo reshus l'rabo alav in kari eved. Really, what the Torah is giving us is a definition. What is the definition of an eved? Somebody who has a rav, someone who has an owner. Once you no longer have an owner, so then automatically you're a free person. So over here, once Shmuel's Shivcha Kananis was taken into captivity, and once he had Yeush, so Shmuel's position is that's it. Yeush equals Hefker, right? That's basically the Gemara's equation. Rashi says it straight out. Yeush equals Hefker. So basically, now she's ownerless. Her only problem right now in life, and it's not a small one, is she was that she's being held in captivity. Somebody was nice enough to ransom her. Okay, but she's a Jew. And she's free. And Shmuel says, and she doesn't even need shtar shechur. Story number two. Amte, the Rabbi Abba Bar Zocher Ishtabai, the maidservant of Rabbi Abba, was taken into captivity. Parke Ahu Tarmuda. Lishum Isisa. Now she was ransomed, but here in this case, not by a good Samaritan, not even by a Jew, but by a Tarmudi. He's a non-Jew, and he wanted to take her as a wife. Shachu leilidide iyos avidi shadalei gita de cherusa. So they say to Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra, "You want to do the right thing? Write her a pashtar shechor, free her." So, hechidam idam asuparkula lamaligita decharusa. So the Gemara says, well, I'm not quite following. If they can ransom her, if they can redeem her, so why are you writing her a document, a star cheres? And idam asuparkula, and if they can't ransom her, kishad lagita decharusa mayhave. What good is it going to do? Meaning, basically, how's this all going to help? La'olam damatu parkila, v'kevin demeshad delegita decharusa, chavur mechbere ahadade uparkila. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Once you write her a get shichur, so now she's a full-fledged Jew, and people are going to be motivated to go ahead and redeem her. And as Rashi over here explains, we're going to go back to the fundamental issue of today, and that is, is there a mitzvah to redeem an Eved Kanani? Is it a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to redeem a Jew. Is it a mitzvah to ransom an Eved Kanani? So obviously over here, they felt that no, it wasn't a mitzvah. So once you free her, and now she becomes a full-fledged Jew, so then everyone's going to be incentivized to redeem her. Why? because now she's a Jew, and there's a mitzvah to ransom a Jew. That is approach number one of the Gemara. Ibai Samalam Dula Matsu Parkila, the Gemara says no. Maybe there wasn't a price to ransom her. So the Gemara says maybe, but there still is a benefit to freeing her. Why? Because once you free her, now she becomes a full fledged Jew, and he's not gonna want to marry her. Okay, he's not gonna want to marry a Jew. The Gemara says, Vamamar, Khavivalambem to she saw Yosem in the Sheh Sayem. Okay, an indelicate line of the Gemara. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara repeats it over here, and that is, what do you mean he's not going to want to marry her? The non-Jewish world is drawn to be perfectly fair, the animals of a Jew, but by extension, right, for sure a Jew. Meaning, well, just because she's now a Jew, he's not going to want to be with her. Just the opposite, he will want to be with her. So the Gemara says, "Hani mi libitzena aval befarhesia zila b'milsa." The Gemara says, "Okay, privately." But in other words, but what is he going to do now? He's going to take his Jewish wife over to the, you know, to their house of worship. He's going to take him to the local parties. He's going to take, you know, to any chasna, you know, to the non-Jewish weddings. He's going to take his Jewish wife. The Gemara says not befar hesia, only privately, yes, but not befar hesia. Okay, story number three. There was a maidservant. She was in Pumbedisa, and unfortunately, she was terribly mistreated. Okay, people were promiscuous with her. Amar Abai Elav Damar Rav Yehuda Mishmol Kol Mishachra Avdo Over Basay Hava Kaifino Lelamara Vekasav Legeta Cherusa. Abaye says, my hands are a little bit tied. I'd like to force the owner to free her, because once she's free, she now becomes a full-fledged Jew. Somebody will marry her. Somebody will take care of her. But it's an iser asay to go ahead and to free her, so I can't. Ravina Amar Kiha Mo de Rav Yehuda. So Ravina says to her, I'm not sure if Ravina is dialoguing with Abaye or Ravina is just simply arguing. Either way, Ravina says, of course you can free her. Meaning over here, it's for a good purpose. The only time there's an iser in the Torah not to free Neve Kanani is for no reason. Over here, there's a good reason. Mishum Milsa di Yisura. Meaning you're going to prevent people being promiscuous with her. No, there's a good reason to do so. You should free her, says Ravina. So the Gemara says, now from Abai's standpoint, doesn't he agree with that basic premise? That as long as there's a good reason to free Neve Kanani, you should do so. So the Gemara tells the story of somebody who is a half slave, half free person, meaning that there was a joint ownership, a partnership ownership over the Shifcha Kananis. One person freed him, the other one didn't. So now she's 50% owned, 50% not owned. The Kafos Rabba Vasu Bascharin. And we've seen this a couple times throughout Shas. They force the owner to free her. The Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchak Minag Hefker Naguba, and the reason why is because people mistreated her. People were promiscuous with her because she was not in either state. So the Gemara says Hachi Hashta. Abai will tell you, look, these cases are not similar. Hasam Lola Avid Chazia Lola Ben Chorin Chazia. The woman who was half free, half slave, she was in an impossible position of not being free, but not being a Shifcha Kananis. She was neither. She was both a neither. Hacha Efshar Demiach Leila Avdei Umantele. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about a woman who's a Shifcha Kananis. So she can't marry a Jew, but she can marry an Neve Kanani, and he can take care of her. So at least it's within the realm of possibility that somebody could take care of her. Gufa, let's just do a little bit more. Let's get to the two dots. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Kol Mishach Ravdo Over Basay Shenemar Lo Lamem Tavodu. So the Gemara says the statement of Rav Yehuda, which is who says in the name of Shmuel that you cannot free a Neve Kanani. It's an iser asay. It's a negation of a positive commandment. The Torah says, "Lo lamem davodu." This is a story we all know. It's in Brachos. There was once upon a time a shul. V'lamatz asara. There was a dominion. There were only nine. V'shechav davishlam alasara. And so there was an Neve Kanani there. Freedom counted him towards the tenth man. So, but what do you see? Clearly, it's not an iser asay. How can you call an iser asay? And meanwhile, you can permit it. So the Gemara's answer over here is mitzvah. mitzvah shani. Much discussion of what exactly a mitzvah shani means. Literally, the words mean it's a mitzvah, therefore it's different. What does that mean? Does that mean that the ends justify the means? Most probably, and this is the approach of a lot of Rishonim, it's not a question of the ends justifying the means. Is that if there's a good reason to do so, then there simply does not, there is no lav or isra say that exists. Meaning that the Torah's prohibition of freeing them is only when there's no reason to do so. Once you have a valid reason to do so, so then mitzvah shani, that's why it would be okay, it would be permissible.
Mitzvah, the minion is the right.
Right, and also, right, and minion facilitates Kiddush Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, Adkan. Stop here at the two dots. Tomorrow we pick it up.